Podcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh my god. Oh, so sad.
We have no words, ladies and gentlemen.
It's just been such a sad hour.
I mean, really.
I'm pulling myself together.
Pull together.
So I can't.
Or maybe don't.
Or don't. Just, you know, be who you are. Reveal.
It's cool. Mare Dare.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Hello. I would say happy Thursday, but really, it's not a happy Thursday at all. It's a very pivotal, very historical.
It was a shocking episode.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't worn something so colorful.
I know. I was in such a fantastic mood on my way over here, and now it's like, whoa.
I kind of wore black on purpose.
Did you, Star?
I really did. I thought about it.
Wow. Jason J. Carter.
I had a feeling.
Damn, Star, it was filling in your bones, huh?
Yeah.
Jason J. Carter here, everybody. Girls, hello.
Hello, I'm Julie Parton, reporting from the AfterBuzz Studios.
It's so dramatic. I'm Star Session, and I'm so glad to be back to talk about this phenomenal, upsetting episode.
First of all, okay, kill the music. Awesome. AfterBuzzers.
That could have kept going on the whole time.
We are in such utter and just
shocking
disbelief as to what has transpired on season 11 of Grey's Anatomy. 11 seasons of amazing characters
still.
And 11 seasons of magic and wonderful, wonderful storytelling. And tonight we have said goodbye to a pillar of the show.
Why?
Like, for sure.
For
like,
sure. It's 100% a wrap.
100% for sure.
There is no way he's coming back. And what is even more appalling and abhorrent in a good way is that no one saw this coming. Shonda Rhimes, the lid was kept tightly on this.
So
speculation has been.
She issued
Twitter.
A statement.
Of course, I haven't read it yet. Damn right she issued a statement. She better have
because we're coming for her.
But here's the thing about Shonda Rhimes. Mm-hmm. Girl, you Oprah, Apple, and I don't know, have made a deal with the devil because mm-hmm. you have Shonda Rhimes is right now probably the most loved and the most hated woman in entertainment tonight. But I mean, yeah, before we get into the show, let's give a shout out Twitter, our Twitter feed for Grey's ABTV all day today, starting at 4 o'clock our time.
A.M.
Well, but okay, since last night, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
but
let's
I mean,
put
every
it out
every
there.
Thursday, we were greeted with Happy Grey's Day. Oh my God, gonna be an awesome episode tonight. Looking forward to Grey's. No one knew this was coming.
Everyone speculated, though. It was fun reading all the tweets from the last week. Everyone was like, well, maybe this is going to happen, or maybe it's his ghost that's saving these people. Like, there were so many speculations of what was going to happen this episode.
Absolutely.
That it was kind of fun. I'm like, oh, that could happen. Oh, or that could happen. It was really fun following the tweets. So if you guys are not following us, make sure you follow us right now. Use the hashtag GraysABTV. Snap a picture of us, just like Julie's doing right now.
Screenshot us.
And share with all your friends and get everyone on board.
After we get the shout outs, I have the statement ready to go.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's start with some shout outs. We gotta give the Kyle White. I mean, gotta love you, Kyle. Kyle White. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Also Alicia Harding.
Savannah with a lot of numbers.
A
Southern
drop of magic
Siren
caught me taking a selfie.
Georgia Girl 899.
I am H17.
Yes, KW K_Winch Caitlin.
D She Gray's just screwed with my week. I can't.
Right. Deborah Battle.
Gray's Addict 007.
CD Olivia 83.
Spartacus 15 at Spartacus 15.
Dark Angel. K Winge.
Yes.
Andy 24 packs.
At Katia Oliveria.
Wheels for Heels. There's some really fun names this
Jill
week.
Owens, right. Wiedemann, hey girl, Jill Owens, she's been very active with Sanja Bumbar, of course.
Oh, we've got a ton.
Wow. We'll get to you guys, yeah.
People Antonia that I have never Zagotti, even seen
Akena
before.
Jules, Blake Donder, Britt Bratt, Kyle White, oh yeah, it's just so
did
many
Did we
awesome.
Up our fan game?
We did. You know, Arrow Lake at Roxas Shiru. Yeah, a lot of people have been, NK3 Play 2 was really emotional tonight. Kevin Dillon, many wonderful people.
Well, here's the reason why. Because those of us that have been watching the show for over a decade, we were talking about it before it began. Some of us were teens when it started.
I was 26.
Different life phases. People Absolutely. Have come and gone, and things have changed since then. Those of us watching the show are few and far between these days. It's not like one of those shows that everyone you see is talking about.
Right.
It's the thing where you see the people that have been watching the show for 11 seasons, and the characters are like family.
Right.
And so there are people who are watching it at home alone right now, and they need somebody to talk to about it.
Right.
And we are here for you.
Even when the after show's over, Twitter, Instagram, let us know. But, you know, tonight, okay, so here's what, in AfterBuzzers, we got to give you a disclaimer. We are going to dissect the show as we should, because even though we did lose a very key character on the show, there were still some things about the show that did not gel well with me.
Okay, and probably other people thought so too. So you're not alone.
Yeah, I do. I think we should read the statement from Jules.
Go ahead.
But first, Dempsey said it all happened very quickly. There wasn't a lot of discussion. It was just a natural progression, and the way everything unfolded in a very organic way, it was like, okay, obviously this was the right time.
No,
disagree.
I totally.
But it sounds like he was writing that as if it came out of it was a shock for him too.
Right.
And maybe he wasn't ready for it, but I know he's going through a lot of stuff in his personal life. Maybe it is his time to move on from the show, but
Well, I feel like, with that said, Shonda has been known, and like, we talk about Shonda like we know her.
Shonda, my girl.
Whether she knows us or not, we know her.
Mm-hmm. But so, I feel like she, at the end of the day, she calls the shots, and she probably felt like, all right, well, I mean, I'm not really feeling you anymore. You've kind of been MIA.
I've heard, don't know, but I've heard he's been a diva.
A Devo.
Yeah.
El Devo.
Yeah.
Well, he's just, you know, he's wanted to do some racing. He had that whole coffee shop endeavor. His marriage, unfortunately, fell apart this year without a prenup.
Well, I mean, that's what you stupid for him. But, you know, the thing is, though, I feel okay. So tonight.
Let's start from the beginning.
Do you want to hear the Shonda statement?
Yes. Yeah, oh, let's move on to the Shonda.
The obituary. Derek Shepherd is and will always be an incredibly important character for Meredith, for me, and for the fans. I absolutely never imagined saying goodbye to our McDreamy. Patrick Dempsey's performance shaped Derek in a way that I know both became meaningful example, happy, sad, romantic, painful, and always true of what young women should demand from modern love. Oh, his loss will be felt by all. Now Meredith and the entire Grey's Anatomy family are about to enter uncharted territory as we head into the new chapter of her life. The possibilities for what may come are endless. And as Ellis Grey would say, the carousel never stops turning.
No, I wanted it to be more like... I'd rather the cheating and that drama. Right. I was really excited about that, to hear that he's like gone. Sorry, I'm like trying to hold myself together. I don't know why I'm so emotional, but it was such a touching episode.
Right.
And it's the character that I've grown to love. He's McDreamy,
right.
And he's gone. He's dreaming in Neverland.
I wasn't attached to McDreamy. I was attached to Mare Dare.
Right.
Of course. I said last week, with impassioned furiosity over and over again, this was the heart and soul of the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It started with that. It should have ended with that. I can't believe this is happening, and there's still the rest of this season and next season left.
Exactly. Well, I mean,
are we going to lose viewers?
No. I feel like, that hangs on the finale. Because the finale is what, you know...
will hopefully bring people back and want more.
And I do think that if the finale is what is left for this season, then Shonda better give us something that's going to make us think. Because no one can die again. Now, I mean, she killed off Derek, so...
Is it going to be like an episode of Ghost? Like, she's going to be, like, dancing with Derek's
That would be
ghost
awesome.
And,
but, I mean, you know...
I don't know. He will be back in a different capacity. We'll just have to see him...
He might be like the Denny story. Let's recap
the episode.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so.
Because I'm already on to predictions.
As much as it was, you know, the end result, one thing happening, it was a long, you know, hour-long episode that was pretty good.
It was very good.
I don't like how the Derek thing happened, but the episode itself, I did.
Well, it started off with a ton of flashbacks this episode, showing all the different ways that they have said goodbye. And it was just really cute how they had their one line that they always go to, which is really cute.
Meredith. Everyone dies. Everyone dies in Meredith's life.
I know, but it was just...
Christina didn't.
I just feel like that first opening monologue of the way that they were, you know, showing the montage of them saying goodbye just kind of was a little symbolism that he was saying goodbye in the very first 1 minute of the episode. I don't know. Such a great start of the show.
You know, they're, to me, you know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but their love story to me never ever really resonated with me. Meredith, I always felt that there was a deeper love connection between the supporting cast than between Meredith and Derek.
Really?
Absolutely. The only time I ever really felt, two times that I felt that I was there with them was when Meredith drowned in Puget Sound. And Derek fished her out of the sound. And when and
what
when,
about pick me, choose me, love me?
That was great. Or in the post-it wedding. The post-it wedding was fantastic.
Jason, you can't say it. Maybe you haven't felt it this season, but there, it was really, really amazing at the beginning. When you were both so young and fresh.
Right, and the show was so young and fresh. But as, you know, things get long in the tooth, and also storylines get long in the tooth, and also we've invested in the growth of the characters individually, like Meredith on her journey and without Derek. So, but, I mean, none of that matters because Derek is gone now, and tonight's episode... In the beginning, yes, Star, all the ways they said goodbye, it was so, it made me think about me and my partner, you know, like when he gets on a plane, when he flies a lot, I always tell him, have a good flight, baby, I love you. And if I have to say that, because if I don't, I'm like, what if he dies, doesn't know these things? Or if like, I always have my phone ready, because he texted me before
it
takes off.
Well, it's cute because I wrote it down, I don't have it with me, but they said the same thing in like six different times in that monologue. It was the same cute way of saying goodbye.
Exactly.
Same with my fiance, he always says, have a safe and comfortable flight.
Right.
It's so weird.
And apparently he's an official stewardess.
Yeah, it's so weird, but it's like our thing now. And if he doesn't say it, it's like, you know, I'm like, hey, you didn't say it. And he's like, oh my God. Have a safe and comfortable flight. You know,
we always say, I miss you already.
Aww, that's cute. Oh,
so, but
just
you know,
the love in this episode.
Derek's driving. There's this crazy
ferry. Why?
Well,
why was he on a boat?
He probably was gathering his thoughts, collecting his head, you know, just being having a great day.
I don't know if there's different ways to travel in Seattle. I don't know if his car drove onto the ferry. The ferry took him closer to the airport where he would drive off of the ferry. This is me just... I don't know why he was on the ferry, but he was making phone calls.
I know we have some viewers from Seattle. Please explain that boat to us.
Yeah, because the ferry scene, it was the good goodbyes.
He did walk down on that boat.
And he did look really good.
Still got it.
Yeah, he had the smile.
Oh, that salt and pepper and pea coat.
Mm, he looked good. The wind was blowing. Mm-hmm. He was looking fresh,
those
you know?
Blue eyes. So he gets in his car and,
he's making phone calls. Well, before that, he was making phone calls, talking to his sister that day.
He called Meredith and she didn't answer, right?
Right. And then so he ended up calling his sister. She was in surgery. He was like doing a little bit of banter.
Right.
And then from there, so that was kind of like his last moments of saying goodbye to Bailey. Who else was in that OR? His sister was in there. There was, you know, a few surgeons who were in there. So it was kind of interesting that that was kind of like his last goodbye. Then he was driving. So
right.
We see him, he's on the highway, he needs to take a shortcut because it's going too long. And that's when we feel the eeriness. He takes the shortcut through the mountains, through the curvy, windy road.
And his Cayenne, his Porsche Cayenne. Ooh, SUV.
Sexy.
We felt the eeriness for weeks now, though.
Yeah.
They made no small deal about the fact that we were leading up to this.
Yeah.
The only reason that I kept thinking it wasn't going to happen is because they do this all the time.
Yeah, like,
especially with him. With everybody has near-death experiences. So for me to not think it was actually going to happen, even until the last second of this episode, I was convinced
it
wasn't
going to
happen.
I knew it.
Well, you know.
I felt it.
So.
Not in an insensitive way. I just kind of felt it,
right.
You know?
Well, and then so there's an accident. The car flips, et cetera, et cetera. People are injured.
Well, so he's going around the curves, right? And he's like, I'm going 10 miles over the speed limit. It's too fast for you.
No.
Then we get a flash.
The other guy.
Yeah, he's saying that. We all talk to ourselves in the car, and he's like, I'm going 10 miles an hour. That's too fast for you. He's talking about the car that's speeding behind him. Was it a Porsche that was behind him?
No, it was a Corvette.
It was a Corvette, right? Then we get the quickest flash of the speed limit. The speed limit was only 25 miles per hour.
Yeah,
and
windy.
He was clearly going 35, and it's super windy. Why was this... We find out kid speeding. Like
that's just what 17-year-olds in nice cars do.
Remember she said that her father let him borrow the car?
Yeah.
And so he was just, you know, trying to impress the girl.
Yeah.
Because they had their first kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But out of nowhere, the car, he cuts off the GMC van and then they both flip?
No, he cuts him off, and this, I wish you can see me if you're listening podcast style. But basically he cuts the other car off and tips it at the front where the other car loses control.
Got it.
Then they both start flipping.
Got it. Okay.
So he definitely did tap the front of the other car when he was trying to get back into that lane to continue speeding down what looked like Mulholland Drive, but it was Seattle.
And here's why you wear your seatbelt, because I saw another video, just, you know, to correlate the story, another video of an Iran BMW guy hits the wall, flies out of the car onto,
Well, that's what happened with this, with the people in the car.
They probably were not wearing seatbelts.
They eject, I'm sure they probably, who knows, they ejected the out of the car.
Right.
And they flew a few feet from the car, both of the victims who were in the speedy car, right?
Right.
Now, the other car that flipped over, the van or the Jeep or whatever it was, it had a mother and a daughter in there. And that's when Derek gets out of the car.
Well, Derek first, he slams on his brakes.
Right.
Fade black commercial. So we really didn't know for a minute there if he hit the car or not.
Right.
Which honestly would have been a tad bit more feasible than what actually happened.
So we go through this first part of the episode. He's safe.
But he gets out, he goes to the girl, she's like, I'm dead. Right then, I was like, this doesn't feel right. I think they're both dead.
Yeah.
I was kind of convinced the little girl and Derek were both dead.
Like, it was like they're ghosts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't a possibility.
But that's what it seemed like. It does,
exactly. I was with you on that one.
This little girl from Parenthood has just grown into her acting chops.
Oh my gosh. Phenomenal.
She's always been good on that show, but she was just spot on this episode. Everything about her.
Her first monologue had me crying. I've just been crying.
Well, I thought Derek was... Okay, so he saves the girl.
He saves the mom.
Everyone, yeah.
He checks on everybody. Like, right. No, it was kind of interesting because it was like he, in that moment of stopping so fast, he reaches for his phone. He can't find his phone. He goes out of service because he was talking to Bailey and his sister in surgery. Yeah. And then he realizes his phone's out of service and his phone falls into the crack of his car. Then he gets in and he just realizes, I just got to go save people. It's a beautiful day to save lives.
Yeah.
You know, he checks on the mom, the daughter, then he runs across the street.
Here's what's up. They were running across that street so flippantly.
Right.
All of them. Even Derek. Go, little girl. Run across that street so nonchalantly. Back and forth a couple of times.
Right? I was like, can you look? Tell her at least to look both ways? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was really interesting.
It was not a busy street.
But it
wasn't a busy street. But it was, the danger was that it was curvy and you couldn't see that.
It was blind turns around the curb.
Exactly. I mean, there was also that harkens back to another episode where Meredith and Kreb were inside of an ambulance and they were carrying the baby.
Yes, I remember that.
So it's probably the same street. I'm a Holland.
Drive, where they can get the permit.
They were trying to get to the airport at different times.
But he saved, and one of the girls had her bowels hanging out of her stomach.
Well, no, she just kept, this girl was, you know, the classical and won't stop talking injured person that's always on grade.
Well, when you're in shock.
My stomach hurts. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm a perfect student. He's in remedial math. You know, I always just want to settle down these injured people.
You're dying, chick. Calm the F down.
Derek's like, let me just unbutton your pants and see what's going on there. We knew her organs were being held in by the denim button.
By the denim button.
Intestines everywhere.
Oh my goodness.
And he's like, do you have dry cleaning? Just real quick, we can wrap her up real quick. But genius, smart, you know, smart.
Yeah, he helped save her life because he was thinking. And, you know, she had that moment like, I'm going to die. She's freaking out. And they're like, they're all starting to freak out. And he's like, just give me a moment. I don't have a plan. Let me be honest. But I will find something.
Except
that's
for the teenage guy who was wandering around, no idea what had happened, no idea he'd just caused this massive accident, turns his head, something out of a horror scene.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Totally gobbed in blood.
I'm sure the makeup artists on this set were, like, having the time of their lives.
They did terrible, you know, on it. Right? More! Emmy. I need more!
More blood! It was just really great
work. He probably had the least amount of injuries. Because Mama had... What?
Her hip was out of place.
No, the little girl had nothing.
Right. The little girl had no injury. She had a little scrape on her forehead.
Good for her. for the little girl. No, I don't like when kids die.
Yeah,
I
didn't want that to happen either.
I don't think anybody was saying they wanted that to happen.
No, I know. I'm just saying, but you know, sometimes kids die. Like, God, watch Game of Thrones. Kids die every day. But you know, all is good in the hood, right? With Derek, he saves the kids, he saves the family.
I know, we thought, we were like, we're going on a different route.
Yeah, I could have a coffee.
But
you know?
We knew this wasn't over, this wasn't right. This entire scene and this entire episode had the eerie feeling.
And let's just go into it. He gets into his car, everyone leaves him, he's the last to leave the scene, which seems really odd to me, that there wasn't even like a... cop.
Right.
Or the ambulance is like, do you want to come with us, maybe?
Or we need to check you out. You were also in this traumatic thing. Right, like, right. Get in the, you know what I mean? It just seems so odd. Like, all right, peace out. Good luck. He gets in his car. He starts the U-turn. He hears his phone ring. He reaches for it in the middle of the street, mid-U-turn.
And the one car that had been on the road the entire day
comes. And it was like a big rig up on the mountain.
My sister texted me that. Really, the one car, the one call that happens to get through?
Yeah.
Hits him. Well, Pomps in Love, Lizzie says, yes, Julie Parton at JDC Forever at Star Sessions. Patrick Dempsey shot the ferry boat scenes in Seattle. Yes, he drove his car on, then got off to go to the airport. So that's why he was on the ferry boat.
So I was right. I was right.
Do things. Gosh, well, Seattle.
And also Lizzie at Drop of Magic says, the end is inevitable for Grace.
Mm.
But, yeah, the one... Okay, here, let's talk about Derek's injury now. I'm sorry, Shonda Rhimes. I felt like it would have been more powerful and more just mind-blowing if, instead of him getting hit by a semi, because we make jokes about, like, you watch Mean Girls, Regina George gets hit by a bus and a semi. You know, George got hit by a bus or dragged by a bus and a semi. Come on. But I thought it would have been more powerful if the girl that was freaking out, I don't know, stabbed him or did something. Like, seriously, like,
I'm gonna start what you said and then take it a completely different direction.
Okay.
Maybe if he sacrificed himself for that girl.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, she was walking across the road. He, like, or grabbed something. Her. Or
right. Selfless.
I'm with you, Jason. This seems unceremonious. Right?
Unceremonious, absolutely.
Because there was a big car, the car goes into a big explosion, and that moment was a big rush. Something's crazy is going to happen. We didn't know what it was going to be, and we were predicting last week that maybe the explosion will hurt him, because we saw him running around in the trailer for last week. We saw him helping out these people. We just didn't know how he was going to get hurt or die or not at all, and it's just weird that it was by a bus. Or whatever, a semi that hit him.
It could have been better.
It seemed like something could have... I knew something was going to come around the curve. That's what I said in my prediction last week. Something was going to come around the curve and hit him while he was trying to save him. Who knew that he would just do a ridiculous U-turn in the middle of a two-lane, curvy, blind curve? You know what I mean?
He had just, like, seen a huge, huge accident.
And his phone, why isn't his phone hooked up to Bluetooth anyways? Why didn't he just press the button and let it ring in the curb?
And why is this the first time it rang?
Oh, my God.
Meredith had been calling him the entire day.
You are witnessing right now a star Julie...
extravaganza.
It's what happens when gagging on their eleganza. Stuff that doesn't make sense, right?
Yes, never marry these
and
two.
And especially when you're going to when you're going to kill off one of the main characters that has been a part of my life for 10 years.
Right? Rude.
Make it make sense.
Hashtag rude.
Well, so okay, we were all in accordance that the way Derek got hurt was whack. Are we in accordance, ladies?
Accordance.
Cool. Great. But so now this is where the actual show gets interesting, though, because
I mean, it was interesting.
No, but okay. It escalates to a higher echelon of interest.
I know, because it played with my emotions really hard. Because I'm like, oh, he's safe.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, like definitely. When we went to the commercial and he got hit, I was just holding on, closing my eyes.
Star was in a 51-50 hold for at least 5 minutes. Like, I had to restrain her.
Terrible.
But you know, I think Shonda and the writers get kudos for making Derek's a neurosurgeon. He knows about the brain. He's brought into the hospital, and you know, and what was really crazy about the doctors that were working on him is that they were parallel. They reminded me of doctors at Seattle Grace Mercy West. I saw, some Izzy. I saw some earlier Grays moments in the way they were talking to each other and the way they were handling things. And
speaking of Izzy, it was hilarious when it's not hilarious, when the car crash initially happened and all you see is blonde hair. I was like, it's Izzy! It's Izzy!
Catherine Heigl,
and
really?
Her adopted daughter.
I was like, awesome. Shonda Rhimes likes you after 10 years. Good job. But,
I really have a huge issue with this, though.
Good.
They wouldn't take all of those people to a podunk hospital with no trauma center.
Right.
They would have life-flighted them to Seattle.
Right? Fly them out.
Get a helicopter in here and take them somewhere that actually knows what they're doing, especially if there's already four people there.
Well, but like I said when watching the show, it was a perfect storm, though, because, in the real world, yes, that would have happened, but in Graceland, it didn't happen because this is his fate. He was supposed to die this way. And listening to his monologue, whoever wrote that monologue or his narrative for his treatment of what was supposed to happen was fan freaking tastic.
Oh,
that to
I
me,
thought you didn't like it.
No.
I could tell you loved it.
I loved it. At first, it was weird to me. I thought the whole monologue was great. I thought when they cut to commercial, some of the things he was saying was like, why would you end it there? Like, okay, I'm stable. Commercial break. Like, really? You know, but...
Because it was giving us on a roller coaster. We kept landing on highs and ending on lows.
But
and
the thing about...
on highs,
the
you
roller
know
coaster...
I mean?
No, I agree with you 100%, Star. But the thing
we're
about...
hit by a car.
The roller
we're
coaster,
safe.
But sometimes, you know what? You want to get off the carousel of stuff's running. But you want to get off the ride and you want to go there and experience everything that's in full entirety. I love that he was like, check my head, you know? And it was just like all the things that were happening to him in his body that they were trying to fix. He was bleeding internally, et cetera. But the one... The motherboard, the one thing that they didn't...
He has a big contusion on his
right.
head. Check his head.
And when
call
he said,
for a CT.
Just clarify, for those of us that were one step behind, he had a brain bleed, or what was
a cause? A brain lack, I guess. Fine. Someone tweet us what the hell a brain lack is, because I don't know what a brain lack is, but he had a brain injury.
Right.
And so, okay.
And what was also really cool was when he said, you're a woman. The guy's older. Don't back down. Like he was going through how people probably would get treated, you know, when they're working with a more seasoned, more tenured doctor. And just the way everything he kept saying was just so powerful. That to me was a powerful.
So just
part of the
to clarify, he comes into the
Clarity.
Hospital and he can't speak
because right.
and he starts talking us through this inner monologue he's having with, okay, if this is happening to me, then that's probably wrong. If this is happening to me, then they probably need to get a CT.
Right.
It was really interesting that the inner monologue he was having was that he was basically narrating his own death.
Death, exactly.
And it was so touching because he's the best of the best.
Right.
And he knows what to do and he just couldn't verbalize
right.
it. And
ugh.
I wish there was like, they didn't
tried.
Even do like a blink once if you can hear me.
No.
Exactly.
Blink
well,
twice.
Here's
you know
the
what
thing.
I mean? They didn't go
this
through
is,
the procedures.
This is a huge part of this episode and... what I think will be a huge part of the future of the series, there was mistake after mistake after mistake when they were trying to save his life.
Right.
Everything from the paramedics taking him to that hospital, to the paramedics shoving him into that hospital, to
the paramedics
not
even, to the doctors
yeah, to
not even
not
wanting
learning.
To take him.
There was thing after thing after thing.
Right.
And even dead Derek, almost dying, was saying, I'm going to die because these people aren't trained.
Right.
And then Meredith came in, and she said something about... this being trained, you did this wrong, this was a bad call. I think the future of the series is going to be a little bit of her trying to implement a training system, either nationwide or at that hospital, because she can't just let this happen. That was a huge theme.
Right. And also, kudos to PD, Patrick Dempsey, for his acting, because him trying to speak, he so eloquently painted the perfect picture of his death for us. Normally, when people die on series, it's not like this. But, I mean, just... everything from him telling her that she's a woman, like just everything, he knew how it was all going to play out. And they could have written the show with him being frantic, screaming in his head, really going through it, but he was so calm and so like, okay, do this. And then,
actually freaked me out a little bit, because all I could picture was him sitting alone in some sort of sound studio being like, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, you're a woman. All
yeah,
calm
the voiceover.
Like that.
But then the doctor being at dinner, head
they,
surgeon.
They call him in there. They realize when they're doing all these things to save
he
him.
He has a brain lack.
Yeah, there's brain.
So it's a brain laceration. And this comes from Allie Gets Fit. Brain
Dr.
laceration.
Allie Gets Fit.
That's right. Brain laceration is a tear in the brain tissue. And actually, Allie's trying to study that right now.
As a doctor.
Boom.
The smartest hands. I love you, Allie. And if I ever have a brain lack,
I want you to
you
operate
there.
Me. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. And they call this neurosurgeon who's supposed to be on call 20 minutes away. He's at dinner and he takes an hour and a half.
To get there. And
another
even
thing. Yeah, it's
even
a huge
Derek's
problem.
Like, it's, why? It's too late. His pupils are blown. It's too late. Like, it's a wrap on me. I'm done. And, God. Okay, so Derek's dead.
Oh my God, did we really just get there that fast? I feel like we're missing something, no?
No.
Well, yeah, the little
yes,
girl.
Yes, we're missing the whole part about how Meredith came.
No, that's next. Hello.
Okay,
that's...
well, also the little girl. The little girl is in the hospital, and she's looking over and she's the only one that's not injured. And she's looking around. She's seeing her mom. She's seeing the other people in the other cars. And then she looks over, and she realizes that it's Derek that's in the hospital laying in the bed. And I feel like that was a really touching scene. Another monologue from her that was really amazing when she went over there and touched his wrist and repeated the same thing that he had said to her earlier in the day. You have a pulse. You're alive. I just felt like that was a really touching moment that we can't skip over because it was just heartfelt. Like, it was a really great monologue. It had me to tears, went to commercial, and I was
and
up,
we
like,
wouldn't be surprised if she gets a guest actor Emmy nomination.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a great connection between the two. I feel like Patrick Dempsey tonight was probably not just because he died. He this is his final episode on Grey's, but
every time you say it,
I feel like tonight his the acting that he was stellar. Like there's been a lot of stellar moments on Grey's, and this is probably top five.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh!
Not even when Christina left was
most
it.
Memorable. Yeah. It's just so.
You know, and then, but
here's what you said, he was dead. I guess I'm not really considering him dead until they pull the plug, even though he was brain dead.
Right?
Although he did stop talking, right?
Yeah, we didn't hear the monologue.
Past that.
Past the end of surgery once the new doctor came in from eating his lovely dinner.
What was the last thing he said? I'm going to have to watch this again.
Yeah. I don't want to watch it again.
And the doctor even says, you had the time to get a CT. Like, you now I have to work like hell to save this man's life. And Derek said, one of the last things he says, like, what's the point? You know, that to me was like, wow. So, listen, join the conversation online. Hit us up on Twitter using the hashtag GraysABTV. Hit us up on iTunes. Tell
a
friend.
Give us a ton of stars. Yes.
This Grey's Anatomy, 11 seasons. This show is getting more and more powerful every season. It's not losing any momentum. I'm sorry. Let us know. We love to hear from you. Hit us up on YouTube. Oh, my God. The comments on YouTube, we love.
so fun.
Yeah. I mean, we're right there with you guys. We are right there with you guys. We agree with a lot of your comments. And a lot of you guys tell us things we don't even know about the show. We're self-proclaimed experts on the show. So.
Well, we have Pomps in Love, and they said a neurosurgeon died of a brain bleed because another neurosurgeon was eating. The worst irony. It's just like so ironic that would happen.
But that goes back to the magic of Grey's. How Shauna said, you know what? The irony is always a powerful tool to play with in storytelling because here he is, the world-renowned.
Right,
neurosurgeon, and the way he went out—he
was just—he was just working with the president and like doing all these great things. And
if they could have taken him to himself, he probably would have made it.
Right,
but we can't say he died because of that neurosurgeon. He died because he made a U-turn on a seriously dangerous curve.
Right, and again, like I said, it was a perfect
and, like,
storm.
Why a U-turn? Like
maybe he was, I don't know.
He's probably heading back home.
Honestly,
like, going back
all right.
Home.
So here's the part in the story wherever they call Meredith, and we do see that knock, and that to me was just haunting and harrowing. How she sees the cop lights, she gets the knock. And then she says, they're like, come with me. And she's like, oh, my kids. We thought that was kind of an odd line.
Meredith tonight.
I can't come with you right now. See, here's why I have a problem with the whole thing. Just from this point on that Meredith went through it isolated. I feel like from the moment that she got there until she pulled the plug, couldn't they have given it a while? I mean, whenever Mark was going to have his plug pulled, it was several weeks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It couldn't have let people say bye, her kids, his sister.
And then also.
So cold of her, but that's Meredith. We all know her to be a little bit cold. It was weird that we didn't see her break. And when it's very weird that she didn't call in some support or even his own family members that are like, what, 30 minutes down the road, a ferry ride across town.
I feel though, ladies, that what happened tonight with Meredith is just a setup for what's about to come. Again,
she's gonna lose it.
I mean, she's still in shock too, but just, sorry, you breathed a sigh of relief when you saw he was still alive, they hugged, you know, I did too, I was like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah, because in the flashback.
Right.
When they come to her door to say whatever they are gonna say, they immediately go to a jump scene where she's like, oh, honey, you're in the hospital. How did you get here? And he's like, I saved some lives. And, you know, then I got hurt. So I was like, oh, whew, that was a close one. He's alive. Yeah. Then they flash back and they're like, ma'am, like trying to wake her out of her daze.
Does Derek Shepherd live here?
And so that's how I wish it had happened. I wish this hadn't happened. I wish he was okay.
Right? I wish that moment where the ups and downs, the roller coaster, the carousel we were on, I wish it would have ended there and he would have been
Do you guys think it would have been more powerful if Derek would have left Meredith And instead of him dying, his way of his exit from the show would him being like, Meredith, we're done. I'm leaving you up for somebody else, and that's it. Do you think?
Yes, honestly, I just have like since day one, this has been my biggest issue with the series. There's no reason that all of these people have to die. Especially like Meredith's family members, they write them into the series to kill them off.
Yeah.
Or interns, write them into the series to kill them off. They've blatantly said it kind of as a joke before, how this place is so dangerous. Why would anybody live here or work here? But, like, there's storytelling that you can do without it being so, death. So
sure. So death.
But do you think, related. You know, with that said, though, ladies, I feel like I'm sure there's politics behind all that, too, because you have to also remember this is show business. There's ratings for the right. show. You know what I mean? So I'm sure Shonda gives statements and writes these obituaries and has these, you know, moments, aha moments on Twitter and online about things. But ultimately, Walt Disney, Mickey Mouse is calling the shots. And so they want to, because Walt Disney owns ABC, they ultimately want to get ratings. And I'm sure Patrick Dempsey probably felt like, look, if I'm going to go out, give me something good to go out with. And I think tonight it was perfection.
The way you said that, Jason, actually made me rethink my statement because.
Whoa! After buzzers, that's a first.
That is a first.
This is a fantastic character, and I can see what you're saying. If he wanted to leave the show, he wouldn't have wanted it to be for another woman in DC.
Right.
Would have wanted to go out honorably. Just saved a slew of people.
Right.
Well, what's so interesting is back when we thought he was cheating, we were like, this is the best thing that's happened to Grey's in a while. And now that he's dead, we're like, well, maybe we didn't care that he was going to, like, go off with a hussy. You know, like...
Meredith.
It's just really interesting that we flip-flop that.
We're such flip-floppers. It's disgusting. But, you know, we have that right. We are verified Grey's fans, damn it.
This whole thing, to me... did reek of behind the scenes drama. Seem like he pissed Shonda off.
Really?
Yeah. You don't think?
Yeah. I feel
just
like
the fact that it didn't happen at the end of the season, just like
because what they could have done, they could have done is this. They could have we knew freaking Christina Yang was leaving for a whole 6 months. We got farewell to Christina starts this week. Bro, it was just like
irritating.
So
there was a lot of love behind her.
Exactly.
Leaving.
Exactly. And so I feel like with Patrick Dempsey,
right.
Shonda probably felt like, and I was reading earlier about how she released the statement again, I don't work with divas. There'll be no more Katherine Heigl situations on. So I feel like Patrick Dempsey was probably a bit too much. But who cares? It's a wrap now. Meredith Grey. Meredith in the hospital.
With her daughter laid across her lap. She's so upset, but not really showing it. Her grieving is definitely
her mother.
Different.
She's her mother. Meredith Grey has transformed
into Ellis
Grey.
Those little monologues as she was walking into the hospital? She was hearing her mother.
Absolutely.
I thought that was an odd way to blend that. Why do we need to blend that with the carousel moment?
Because it brings back trauma for her.
Right.
So when people bring back trauma, they think of what the most traumatic thing that has happened to them so far. I thought that was genius, personally.
I thought it was odd.
And hearing her mother's voice,
right.
It's just blood. She saw the blood. It just brought her back into...
Because her mom slit her wrist. Yeah, it's everything bad that's happened in her life was... This was just a culmination. It was like... It was reliving all those things.
Right.
It was fear. She was fearful. But first of all, I have to say, she looked her hair looked awesome. That
she looked great.
She looked great. Mm-hmm. Meredith looked sexy in a very depressing scene. Really, really good.
Some of the time when they do flashbacks, you see her at the beginning. And you're like, she's so adorable. And then they show her now, and she just looks a little bit like
haggard.
But from the scene where they show her at the beginning and she's all cute and wrapping herself in the blanket to now, she actually looked like a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Aging very gracefully. Something about this episode, you're right, she looked gorgeous. She looked great.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was saying to you ladies when we were watching it, seeing the first episode and the quality of the show, the way it's come full circle and how it's like Sex and the City. The first two seasons were like, whoa, there's a hot mess. But the more successful the show got, the better the show looked. But tonight, Meredith, I was disappointed in her performance, not because she's a bad actress. Ellen Pompeo is a fantastic actress, but the way they wrote, everything happened so quickly, you know, like if Munchkin, my partner, hi everyone, if that happened to him and I was his power of attorney and I had to give the directive to kill, I would be going through it for at least
But she good. Said it. And that was her monologue that you said was beautiful.
About her being a doctor.
About her being a doctor, and I know what you're coming, you know, the doctor comes up, she has Zola laid across her lap, and here comes the doctor, or
Zola was across the lab. Bailey,
yeah, lady. Children mm-hmm. were sleeping.
Yeah,
children whatever. Were sleeping. Children were sleeping. And then here comes the doctor, like, hey, I thought this would be a great time to chit chat with you. And she's like, I know what you're coming to talk to me about. And he was like, well, I need to go over some things. She's like, I'm a doctor too. And you did it right. I wish she would have been like, and were you the one that didn't call the CT?
Well, she said,
anyways,
saw,
I wanted her
saw,
to get
that was
really
one of the first
mad.
Things that she did was look at the chart.
And she was like, bad call. You know, like, she's like, do you need to get a CT? And even in that, that, even in that moment when she looked at the chart, it was very cold, very disconnected, and just like
she went into doctor mode instead
right,
of
here's
life
the love
mode.
Of your life, the love of your life. I mean, everyone interprets grief and shock and death differently. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sort of like how Star cried for the last 20 minutes.
Oh yeah. My god!
And I'm still really mad.
I'm like, oh.
That's my main emotion right now.
All my makeup's like
and then the,
off
and then the
over
doctor.
It.
The I know you had a really bomb smoky eye when you came in. And
I
after
know.
The,
it's like, God.
And then the doctor herself, and the monologue Meredith gave the doctor who didn't get the CT, she's like, do better next time. Like, you
loved
will see
it.
His face. Harkens back to earlier episodes when Meredith lost a patient and Bailey told her the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, do better. Like, you will, he will, the hard ones are always the ones that will haunt you, but save another life tomorrow. So guess what? Tomorrow's Friday. She said, tomorrow's Friday. It's another day for you to save a life. And it was just like, and then she goes and throws up. Random. But,
no. That to me was proof that she was feeling it.
Oh, of course.
Because she was so cold and stone-faced and handling it like she would if she was a doctor. But then I think she had that moment like, no, this is my husband and I'm the wife and I don't have a father for my kids anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Just came out.
Yeah. It's yeah, a lot. Tonight's episode on so many levels was either... It's hard to find words for beside. Saying it's amazing, saying it was pivotal, saying it was epic, saying it was awesome is not even doing it service because there's no words to describe
all of those words.
But yeah. even though
put them all into a melting pot, and that's what tonight's episode.
How
was.
Are you feeling, Jason?
I feel, you know, every time we lose, like, okay, so true story. I was at work last year watching when Christina left, and I cried at work. My friend had to console me because they played that "Take on Me" song, and it's like you're losing a
you
friend.
You weren't here with us?
No, but I watched it again. I was watching it again afterwards.
Oh, I'm like, where were you?
I was gonna say I knew where you were last year.
No, I watched it. I watched because when we're watching it here, we have to wear our.
It's a different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you go home and watch it again, it's like, oh, right. I wish I would have said all those jokes, and now I'm seeing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. To answer your question, Julie, I don't tonight. I'm sad because. I'm sad not that Derek's gone. I'm sad because of the loss of two people that love each other to lose someone you love. You know what I'm saying? That's what makes me sad.
I think that, I mean, I haven't got to a place where I feel sad yet. I'm still just kind of furious that this even happened. I don't want it to be this way. But I feel you on the fact that I'm mostly mourning them.
Right.
I'm mostly mourning them as the center of the show, as Meredith, as this adorable couple that we've seen go through so many ups and downs and two children and their careers and going away and coming back together. I just can't fathom that being over.
And what's Shonda said in her obituary, the next chapter of Grey's. What other chapter can they turn? Like what?
Well, just her mourning, and I think that's a great one where she'll maybe go and start teaching people how to do things the right way the first time. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm going to miss the both of them together, but I'm really going to, it's going to be hard to watch her grieve him. And it's going to really suck if they cut it short. And we don't get to go through it with her.
We have a 2-hour episode next week, which I'm not looking forward to because I feel like it's going to be hashtag Tears of Grey for 2 hours.
We saw her.
Derek's dead. She's going to be telling everyone, and they're all going to be crying and hugging each other. The grieving and the death in this season isn't being handled the way I want it to.
Right.
Especially this one and April's baby. Like, it just can't happen at the very end of the episode and then us not see them deal with it because it extends
the pain.
Is next week
the finale?
No.
No. No!
Okay.
What are they going to do that's bigger than this?
Yeah.
Is how yeah. I feel extremely confused about that. And the number one thing that I disliked about this episode is that she did it so quickly. I know it's probably because she was a doctor, but I feel like I would have liked to see all of those people say goodbye and his kids and stuff.
Yeah,
and
pulling
then see
the
that
plug.
Next week.
Was a bit too soon. I mean, we all were like, wait, what? Like,
and she did. She only had one moment where she's like, wait, nurse. And the nurse is like, come on. Time, lady.
Yeah, which is so rude. But
and then she just said, you can go. That was way too soon for her to feel that way.
Yeah, honestly, her kids were in the hallway. Come in and say goodbye to your father.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know.
We might get that next week. We might get that next week.
But she's not the cast anymore.
No, well, she still is. She didn't leave the hospital at the end of the show. So, at the end of this episode. So, we still might get that. And also, I mean, there's a lot. 2 hours is a long time for, mm-hmm. normally that's a finale or a premiere. So there's a lot that's going to be explained next. They have to.
How are we going to fit it all in?
They have to. But, yeah, tonight's episode was called How to Save a Life. And we, rest in peace, Derek Shepherd.
And they did not save a life.
Yeah.
Well, they saved four.
Right.
He saved four.
They didn't.
Girls, they saved zero.
On a positive note, though, as far as the quality of tonight's show, kudos. It was fantastic writing. Even though we may disagree, and I'm sure a lot of the viewers and AfterBuzzers and people that watch the show may disagree with how Derek left. Ultimately, though, it was beautiful. It was magical. This show is definitely tonight's episode. There's so many moments that are Emmy worthy.
Yeah, I mean, tonight's episode was definitely, we were on a carousel with Meredith, with Derek. We were doing the roller coaster. We were having a lot of highs and lows.
Yeah.
I just wish it would have ended a little differently. I wanted him to survive, and maybe they go through that together again, which we've seen that before. But I think they did a really great job, just like you said, with just giving us the emotion that we've been wanting and needing. The music was there. It just was a really great episode, and I'm glad I got to be a part of it and share it with you guys.
And I will say that regardless of if I hate that they do die, I am very impressed with the amount of emotions that this show and all Shonda shows can invoke.
Right.
But the fact that I've been crying and invested in this for 11 years now is huge.
It's huge.
It feels like a family member died, and I think that's why I'm so mad.
That's what it feels like.
It feels like she killed one of my friend's husbands.
Right?
Whoa. Well,
it's
true. And I really have no predictions for tonight. I would rather not. What can you predict now? Let's just bask in the non-glory of what happened tonight, and then next week talk about the 2-hour episode.
We'll miss you, Dr. Derek Absolutely. Shepherd, Big Dreamy.
Everyone, thank you so much for watching. Until next week, I'm Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JDC Forever, and also on Instagram at Jason Carter Official.
And you can find me, Julie Parton, at JULIEPARTIN.
And you can find me on all things social media at Star Session. I'll miss you guys, and I'm sure you guys were crying with us.
We need the love this week. Yeah. Don't leave us hanging.
Yeah. So keep tweeting us.
See you guys next week. Thanks for watching.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.